Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord Almighty God, we give you glory and praise because you're a mighty God. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. We worship your name. Our subject today is to love the Lord, your God. Love the Lord, your God. And our Bible text is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 7. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Amen.
Amen.
Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is alone. This verse has a statement and two commands. The statement is this one: the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the commandment says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And in Mark 13:20, Jesus said, with all your mind. The second commandment is, you shall instruct your children, talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Verse 4 is the Jewish confession of faith. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. This is known as the Shema, the most central prayer in Judaism. It is considered the main confession of the Jewish faith. As such, it is different for our Christian confessions, which we say, we believe. We believe this one, we believe that one. Expressed in multiple series of declarations, we believe. The Jewish confession, however, is not so much a we believe statement. It is a divine command to hear and to listen to the voice of God regarding who he is, the one true God. Israel had come out of Egypt, where they were confronted with many different kinds of gods. So the statement is that there is only one God. Every Jew is supposed to pray the Shema at least twice a day, according to the above passage in Deuteronomy 9, where it says, when you lie down, that is in the evening, and when you rise up, that is in the morning. Many who have no understanding claim that Jesus is not the Son of God. Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that Jesus was the angel Michael. The Muslims believe Jesus was a prophet. But the Bible says this one, and the Bible we know is true and cannot be shaken. It says in 1 John 4:15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abideth in him, and he in God. So the statement from Deuteronomy 6, is that true? Is it true? Is there only one God? Or do we have two or three gods? Jesus said, the Father and me, we are one. Yet the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father. Anyone who claims that Jesus is not God is not a Christian. He's not a Christian. The Lord is your God, and He is one. In his talk to Philip, Jesus said, you have seen me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Then he says in John 14, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. So Jesus said, the Father and me, we are one. Therefore, we neither have two gods or three gods, nor do we have a God and a prophet, nor do we have a God and an angel. The first commandment in Exodus 23 says, you shall not have any gods before me. Now many say, I don't have idols. I don't have all the gods. Yet they idolize singers. Think of how they idolized Michael Jackson, like a god. They idolize their work. They idolize their pleasures. They idolize their money. Many even idolize themselves. But they are all lawbreakers liable to punishment. Now God clearly commanded in Exodus 25, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am jealous, God. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. We shall not worship anything that comes between me and God. No idol, no hero, no family, no money, nothing should come between God and me. Otherwise, it becomes an idol. We should not worship them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our Lord and God, our Lord is God, is one. The Lord is one, and there is no question, no discussion, no questioning, no discussion. He is, and that is a statement. A statement cannot be changed. A statement stands. You cannot change a statement. After this statement, God commanded us to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. As I said in Jesus, when Jesus was asked, what is the biggest law? He quoted this one, and he included, with all your mind. That's a very important part. It is humanly impossible to love the Lord according to this command, and to love others with the same godly love. You can love the nice people with a godly love. What about the others? We break the command continuously. We do not love the Lord with all our heart. Jesus gave a new command and said, love one another as I have loved you. God wants a complete love from us. This love is appropriate because he loved us completely. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We love him because he loved us first. What God wants most of us is our love. We think, or many people think, God demands hundreds of things of you. He wants your money, he wants your time, he wants your effort, he wants your will, he wants your submission, and so forth. But what God really wants of you is your love. When we really love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with our strength, then everything we freely give to the Lord. If we give to the Lord all the rest, money, time, effort, and so on, we give everything to him, but if we don't give love, it's all for nothing. It's all a waste. It means nothing at all. Perhaps all will be lost. To love the Lord with your soul, with your heart, means with your emotions. Praising him with your happiness and with your smile, with gratitude and ease, when things are going easy, it's easy to say, I love the Lord. Like when you receive an answer to your heartfelt prayer, you are easy to say, I love the Lord. But how about when things are not going so well? All your heart is all the time. When you love God with all your heart, nothing can come between. Even when God seems quiet. Even when he says, wait. Even when he says, no. And yes, even when bad things are happening. Continue to love the Lord, even when bad things happen to you. When the good things do not come. That is the key to a content life. So love God through your problem. As through a glass, you praise him. Because the glass may be the problem, but you praise him and love him all the way. You don't have to be happy for the bad things that happen. You just see through them. Don't concentrate on the problem. See through them, through the circumstance, to the God who wants to comfort you and who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Loving God at all times is a day-to-day learning process. We learn more and more how to do it and keep on doing it a little every day. It's easy to say, I love God that way. But what does that imply? To love God with all your heart means to make him the greatest treasure and gives me the desire to value my relationship with him, with Jesus, over anything else and everything else in my life. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there is your desire. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be, in Matthew 6:21. Loving God with all your soul. So what does that mean? How do you define your soul? The soul is a person's total self. Your soul is what integrates your will, your intentions, your mind, your thoughts and feelings, your values and conscience, and your body, your faith, body, face and body language and actions, and it all combines into one, in one life. So the soul is healthy, well ordered, when there is harmony between the three entities that is God's intent for all creation. So when you are well, your soul is well. When you are connected with God and other people in life, you have a healthy soul. To love God with all my soul makes God with all I am, means loving God with all that I am, with my will, my attitudes, with my intentions, with my emotions, with my thoughts, with my feelings, and my body. And it's to love God. Loving God with all your mind. To love God with all my mind means I love Him with my reason and my intellect. Loving God with all your strength. Also about the mind, we have to say that many thoughts are coming and going, and we have to love the Lord more than anything that is coming into our mind. Loving God with all your strength. Strength is putting my love into action. It's loving God through what I do and what I say. Honoring Him with all my abilities, my resources, my service, and the way I love others for His glory. That's what heart, soul, mind, strength, love looks like. Maybe you shudder at the thought how far you have failed in this, especially when it comes to the old part of God's command. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 9, New King James Version, it says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Shall be in your heart. Mm-hmm. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Amen. When the word of God came to Samuel, it says he didn't let the word of God fall to the ground. He kept it in his heart. And because he kept it in his heart, that changed his life. This command must be first in our heart. In our heart. Not on our lips, on our heart. So then it must be communicated to our children. The topic of our conversation should always be in front of us. What is your conversation with your children? What is your conversation with children? Do you have any conversation? Or are you too engaged with your smartphone? Sometimes I wonder what people are watching on their smartphone all the time. When you travel by bus, by train, people always look at their smartphone. What are they looking at? You cannot have so many interesting, important things to see. When I see mothers and fathers pushing their children through the street, but looking at their smartphone, what kind of conversation is there? I once almost hit a small child when I was driving the taxi. There was a mother. She crossed the road, she was on the phone all the time, she didn't look at her children. And one small child was long behind her, and suddenly she ran into the street. The mother didn't look, she was on the phone. So what is your conversation? You must have conversation with your children. I don't mean the baby language.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them about God. Teach them about God. Make them interested in God. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house. Switch off the TV. Talk to them about God. When you walk on the street. When you go to bed. Before you go to bed. And after you rise up in the morning. There is no option. This is not option. Some people, they say, oh, if I like, I will talk to them. Maybe they don't want to listen. It's a command. It's not an option. It's a command of God the Almighty. The Bible mentions the teaching of children many times. Teach them the word of God. How today, when you look at the children, how little do they know about God? How little? I once spoke to a boy on the street when I was in England, and I asked him, told him about Jesus, and he said, who is that? No idea. Teach him the word of God. Teach him what it means to be a Christian. Teach him what it means to go to church. Church attendance doesn't mean just singing songs. You can sing songs anytime. You don't need to go to church for that. Singing anywhere, everywhere, they are singing. So what is church, going to the church? Instruct your children always about the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, in the Amplified Classic Version, it says, you shall whet and sharpen them, so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon their minds and hearts of your children. And shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Parents must labor diligently and unceasingly to teach children the gospel. Parents are accountable to teach their children the principles of the gospel. When the children go to church or to Sunday school, they cannot be taught everything. So it's up to the parents to teach the children. The most earnest desire of every true Christian is that his children may grow up in the nurture and admonition of the gospel, keeping the commandments of God, so that they may be saved into the kingdom of God. If you are not doing that, they will go the wrong way in life. You cannot expect that if a child receives seed of falsehood and evil is sown into his mind, that he will bring forth a harvest of truth. I may be educated, but I cannot expect that my children are born with the same knowledge. I may know the gospel, but it's not that it's against the teaching of the Bible that my children will be born with the same knowledge of God. We receive a testimony of the gospel by obeying the laws and ordinances thereof. And our children will receive the knowledge exactly the same way. If we do not teach them, and they do not walk in the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, they will never receive knowledge. Some people, they say, I'm a Christian. My children are born with all the promises of the new and everlasting covenant, that they will grow up in spite of themselves with the knowledge of the gospel. But that is not true. That's not true. It's a parent's duty to teach to their children every day, all the time. A child that is born doesn't know about God. But you speak to the small child, you train the small child, even the baby, because they have a spirit and the spirit understands. But the baby may not understand with a mind, but the spirit will understand. So even small children, tell them the stories of the Bible. Teach them who is God. Another way of saying love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength, is to seek the kingdom of God more than anything else. More than anything else. Think and learn about it. Seek it, and you will find it. Seek it, and you will love God more and more. Seek it, and your perspectives will change for the better. Seek it daily, and you will receive what you need. For your Father in heaven, He loves you. He loves you. In reality, loving the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, is simply a response. For we love because He first loved us. Amen.
Amen.